That gospel reading is almost one of those leaflets where you just want to carry on pondering about it, which is very tempting to let you do, but I know you'd be disappointed if I didn't say anything. But it's a story within itself, isn't it? From beginning to end. And it points for Jesus the beginning of that journey to Jerusalem, through Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. So we begin that journey today, Passion Sunday. And what we don't have in that reading is a few verses before, because we're told that Jesus had gone away to the other side of Jordan and remained there for a few days. And I wonder what we would have done if somebody had come with a message saying, the person you love, Lazarus, is dying, is very ill. Come, will you come? I think most of us would have worked out, right, how quickly can we get there? What's the fastest way? But Jesus stayed put. And that is really quite a challenge. That question, why did he stay put? Why did he wait? And I'm sure we can all find perhaps different answers to it, different ways of thinking about it. But I wonder how Mary and Martha thought about it when there was that gap, long gap, or seemed to be a long gap before he came. He might well have been praying during that time. Because with Jesus, healings and miracles weren't automatically. They were rooted in his relationship with his Father. They were rooted in that prayer between them. But also, it was very much, wasn't it, that bit of actually making sure that people would be know that when a miracle happened, that Lazarus was dead, if you excuse the expression. And that he wasn't in a faint or anything, but they actually knew that he was dead. And he tried a little bit to explain this to his disciples. He said, Lazarus' illness was not ending in death, but it was to glorify God, so that God's Son could be glorified. And then he said to his disciples, right, we've been here for a while, it's now time to go up to Jerusalem, to Bethany, to see Mary and Lazarus. And because he'd spent time before explaining to disciples that his next journey to Jerusalem, or that direction, would lead in his death, they hadn't fully grasped it. But yet they said, this is what you said before, but you'd get stoned if you go there. So why are you going back? Really quite a logical question, isn't it? And I'm sure that we all sometimes ask questions like that when we don't fully understand a decision that somebody else has made. I remember years ago when I tried to share with the people I worked with all the things that we were doing, how we did it. And I remember being challenged one time when one of them said to me, why did you do that? And I suddenly had to think, why did I do it? And I had to explain to them the reason. And then it makes sense to them. Sometimes we have to trust. And when we're following Jesus, there are times when we really do have to trust, more so than at other times. And we have to believe in what we know to be true. And he went on to explain to them that Lazarus was actually, he said he'd fallen asleep, Jesus was going to wake him up, but he was actually dead. And it was so that at that moment in time, the disciples, Mary and Martha, and the Jews who were going to be there, could see that Jesus was who he said he was, that he had power over death. But Thomas, I really do love Thomas. He's not always doubting, but he's not afraid to say things either, how he feels. He just says, right, let's go with him and die with him. No more than that. I'm sort of thinking, how many people would I say that if I knew they were going to death? I look around here and sort of sit and walk and think, no way, no way, no way. Not even John. Sorry. But it's quite a major thing to do, isn't it? To put your life on the line to go there for somebody else. But yet, we have seen that bit to be true in so many people's lives, in Christians over the years. And we see it at the moment, don't we, with the war that's been fought in Ukraine. The soldiers there, they're willing to put their lives on the line because it is their country that has been invaded. And I think the question that came to my mind was, if I really had to do that, if I had to do that, would I? Would I have enough faith and enough trust to say, I am willing to go the whole way because of my love of Jesus? And I have to be honest, in theory I say yes, but if it came to reality, I really don't know. I just hope and pray my faith and my love is strong enough. And then we come arrive and we come to that point where we're told that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Because tradition would then, and still in many parts of the world today, is that the person was buried straight away, as early as possible. And so the body would have been beginning to decay. And so they went to Bethany. And we pick up, don't we, during John's Gospel, just how much Martha, Mary, and Lazarus meant to Jesus. And Jesus came, Martha came out and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. How often have we said things like, Lord, if you'd really got your act together, this wouldn't have happened? Or we say, why did it happen? But yet, there's that underlying faith and trust of what she knew of Jesus. I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Do we have that sort of trust and faith in God? And so Jesus goes on to say that Lazarus would rise again. And Martha said, I know he will at the last day. And there's that wonderful statement, one of the I am sayings of Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And that's a question he then asked Martha, do you believe this? It's a question he asked us, do we believe that? And she said, yes, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. So he sees already that Jesus has prepared for the disciples. He's met Martha where she was. And I guess I can't imagine many people, I know there will be quite a number, who want to engage in that sort of almost theological conversation when somebody they've loved has died, trying to get their heads around it. And when death and grief comes, each of us, deal with it in our own way. And it's never quite the same for any of us. And then we come to Mary. Mary was there in the house crying. I think it, you know, just amazing what's the hell of a rabbi. And I guess there was a bit sort of saying, somebody we grew up with, somebody we love. What now? But there's also all these Jews there, comforting her, and Martha. And the question that goes through my mind is, how many of those were there because of who Lazarus was, and they actually cared and loved for him? And how many were there because it was, excuse the expression, the dumb thing? But I'm sure you know what I mean. But Mary's reaction was slightly different when she went out to Jesus. Because Jesus also went with her. She said, if you'd been here, it wouldn't have happened. But the tears made an impact on Jesus. So he changed. He didn't change, but he moved from engaging with Martha where she was to engaging where Mary was. And it's almost as if the reality of what had happened hit him. Because we're told, in two words, how he felt. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And I think that's also a reminder to each of us that actually, tears are okay. Tears alongside other people are also special. And then we have the Jews who are around. Mixed message, as always. And we always get those mixed messages, don't we? Where Christ is at the centre of something. When we're living out that life of Christ. Some said, see how much Jesus loved Lazarus. Others just said, well, come on, get real. If you could make people's eyes open, why can't he prevent somebody from dying? Partly a logical question, but partly a lack of understanding of who Jesus was. And then they came to the tomb. And an amazing thing, of the tomb going, stone going back, and Jesus being reminded that there was likely to be a smell of the decaying body. Again, that's another thing about the Bible, isn't it? We've said it so often, particularly in Medford. It's about reality. It's about saying things as they are. But alongside that, the Bible doesn't tell us all little bits perhaps we need to know, would like to know. And sometimes we just have to put ourselves in that situation. And so they rolled away the stone. And Jesus, having prayed out loud, said, come out. And Lazarus came out. I just want you to take a few minutes to imagine what it must have been like for those who were aware, with Lazarus coming out, not sure what state the smell would have been in, but wrapped up in all his linen bandages all around him. How he managed to walk out, I don't know. What he did with his arms, I don't know. How he managed to breathe, I don't know. But it's just that thing. And how would you have reacted to seeing that? I'll leave you to fill in your own words at that point. But Jesus, ever down to earth, said, take the grave clothes, and let him go. So Lazarus was released from death. And it's a question we don't always ask. Very often is, how did Lazarus feel about it? How would have he felt for the next few years to suddenly appearing from a tomb or wrapped up to having his life again on earth for a short while? And because of it, there's that tension. Many believed, but many didn't. And those who didn't use it as an excuse later on to have Jesus condemned. What a story. What an amazing passage. Even though it's long, Take time to ponder on it. Take time to reflect on where you would be in that story, how you would have reacted as one of the disciples. If you'd been Mary, if you'd been Martha, if you'd been some of the Jews there, if you'd been Lazarus, think yourself into it and share your thoughts not only with God, but with other folk. But above all, we can give thanks that we know that through Jesus, death is just a journey we go through to be with him. This pointed to his death and resurrection. It reassures us that death is not the end. It reassures us that we have faith and belief in a trustworthy and loving God. So may we continue to